Good morning and welcome to your daily nerd brief for Monday, August 13th, 2018. Monday. I am Troy Stegner and I will be bringing you the nerdy news for this beautiful Monday, starting your week off. Looks like it's a little slow on the news side, but we'll see if we can just expand a little and pontificate on these different items. Okay, back in America, Captain America Civil War, you noticed Thor wasn't there. Well, they made a little teaser spot showing where Thor was during that time. He was with, he had a roommate named Daryl. They told us that Daryl survived Thanos' finger snap. Yeah, it's kind of tongue-in-cheek. But he also wanted to wish Thor a happy birthday, let him know that he is working a lot of extra hours because, you know, most of his office disappeared with the finger snap. And he also asked if Thor could, you know, maybe send some cash since he's a little strapped. Thor did a lot of damage to the place, I guess. So yeah, if you were wondering, Thor's ex-roommate Daryl is alive. He survived the finger snap. Little tongue-in-cheek stuff there. Okay, let's go to Sideshow. Black Panther finally, I think, is at the end of its domestic box office run. It has made over $700 million in the U.S. domestically. Globally, $1.3 billion with a B, billion. So Hot Toys, which is sold through Sideshow, has the throne, the Black Panther Shuri figure, and the Wakanda throne, and it looks like Killmonger also. The Hot Toys is very detailed. They're just as detailed as the statues Sideshow makes. But these are action figures from Hot Toys. They are amazing. Let's see what we got here. Okay, there's some of these that are just on RSVP pre-order. And there's no price for any of the pre-orders yet. It's very preliminary. The Hot Toys Black Panther 6-scale figure is in his suit. That's one of the ones that's come at Shuri. And when you look at these, the pictures of these action figures, it almost looks like somebody took a picture of the real person. They're that detailed. And I'll post a link in the description for you guys to check out. So the Hot Toys Shuri, amazing detail in the face. I mean, looks just like her. Same with the Black Panther 6-scale figure that's unmasked. Crazy. It's T'Challa wearing his Black Panther suit just without the mask. Then we have the T'Challa with the throne, where he's wearing his Wakandan royalty gear. All those three are on pre-order. You can't see much. They're just on preview. They don't have a lot of information on those yet. Just awesome pieces. Now, let's go to the ones who have actual prices. The Black Panther, the one I described earlier, the Black Panther with out the mask. It is $259. It's on pre-order right now. Expected to come January through March of 2019, somewhere in that time frame. You can get it on a payment plan. Like I said, it is from the movie Masterpiece series. It's incredibly detailed. It's amazing. Hot Toys does such a great job. Okay, what this thing has, it's not just a normal action figure. They're like the statues. They have interchangeable pieces. One of those is the interchangeable head with the authentic and detailed likeness of Chadwick Boseman. That's the unmasked one. The other head is the masked one. It has interchangeable eyes. So, yeah, you can have one where you can see the eyes and one without. This thing is 31.5 centimeters tall. I'm not sure what that translates into. Oh, here we go. A little over 12 inches tall. So it's a 1/6 scale. That's about right. 7 interchangeable hands. That means you can change the configuration of his hands, pop new ones in. He has the fist, the clenching hands with claws, and the right hand where he can hold the spear. The costume, it's the tailored black and silver with luminous reflective patterns. Wow. It comes with one spear as the weapon. The accessories has two specialized LED light units. I'm not sure where they put those. Craziness. This thing is so detailed. When you see the pictures of it, it's, you would think they took a picture of Chadwick Boseman. It's just amazing how much it looks like him. Since this is an action figure, that means it's poseable, has movable parts. This particular one, 32 points of articulation. That's just, you can put him in so many cool poses. It's unbelievable. One of the other ones that you can purchase right now is his father, T'Chaka. It's got the Black Panther suit with the sash and, well, you know, the Wakandan collars around him. This one is, it's a little cheaper, $220. It's also on pre-order. It's expected to come out toward the end of 2018, October 2018 to December 2018. Like I said, it's T'Challa's dad, T'Chaka. Slightly different outfit. It's also from Hot Toys. Their movie Masterpiece series. It's also 1/6 scale, so it's just touch over 12 inches. This one also has all the points of articulation. Comes with interchangeable fist. It has new developed helmet. Yeah, it's got the helmet. And does this have the unmasked version? I don't see an unmasked headpiece for this one. So you won't be able to see T'Chaka's actual face. It looks like he's always be wearing that one, the mask. So that's a little disappointing, but I can get over that. Nobody cares anyway what he looks like. His suit, of course, is the black trimmed with gold. There, I don't see any LED on this one. So we probably won't have anything lit up. He's got the Kamoyo beads bracelet. That's the bracelet like Shuri had, where they, each little bead had its own little thing. They used them for everything. This one, like I said, a little cheaper. I can see why it doesn't have as many fists, interchangeable fists, doesn't have the interchangeable head, and no LED. Still a really, really nice piece that would be a great addition to anybody's collection of Black Panther stuff. And I'll have a link to that in the descriptions for you. The last one they have out with details about it is the Killmonger 6-scale movie masterpiece series from Hot Toys. $235. They do have payment plans. It's expected to come out mid-2019 to, you know, July to September of 2019. So you have plenty of time for these. You want to make sure you get in on them before they sell out. Sometimes they do sell out pre-orders and you won't be able to get it. So if you wanted the whole Black Panther layout with Shuri and T'Challa, the throne, T'Chaka, maybe Killmonger, you can pick those all up reasonably priced from Sideshow. The Killmonger has the, it says it has an interchangeable head. I don't see a picture of Michael B. Jordan's likeness on any of these. It says it's there, so I'm guessing it's there somewhere. They just haven't shown a picture. And then you have him masked with the detailed texture and golden fangs. He has also 32 points of articulation, 8 interchangeable hands. It's crazy. This thing looks so good. He comes with not just a spear, but he also has a sword. So he's a little over 12 inches, you know, 6 scale. That's about right. I'm looking at the picture. Oh man, Like I said, it looks like a still picture they took right out of the movie. It's so detailed. Check out the link that I provide in the description, and you've got it. If you don't agree with me, then you don't. But man, there's a reason why these things cost so much. They are very detailed. Okay, let's talk about Walking Dead. Walking Dead and Fear the Walking Dead, the spinoff series. They had a time jump in Fear the Walking Dead that allowed for Morgan, the Lonnie James character. The Morgan character was, he is now in Fear the Walking Dead. He was fed up, I guess, with the Saviors. He went on his little walkabout, ran across those guys, kind of teamed up with them for a while. They're having issues on Fear the Walking Dead. The main character, the female who was leading them, Madison, was just killed by a gang of Mel and his vultures. Spoilers. Sorry about that. If you haven't watched it, in the mid-season, she kicks it. Then they get their revenge. And it looks like Morgan is having second thoughts about this group now, and he's wanting to go back to Alexandria, trying to recruit some people to go with him. Not sure how that's going to work, because when Walking Dead comes back, they're going to have a time jump also. So all these time jumps might make it difficult to do some more crossovers. We will see what Scott Gimple, who is the chief content officer, how he takes care of this. Because I believe they were talking about doing more crossovers in the future. I also told you at end of season 9, Andrew Lincoln and Lauren Cohen, the one who plays Maggie, she's going away, and so is Andrew Lincoln. Lincoln wants to spend more time with his kids and family. Can't blame him. And Maggie is just getting more movie-type roles. It's not to say she might not come back in flashbacks, or later on, if the movies don't take off for her like she thought they should, she might come back as a full-time. We don't know. It's TV. They can do whatever they want. So, like I said, Fear the Walking Dead, a lot of stuff getting shaken up along with Walking Dead. They both are in their mid-season hiatus. The Fear the Walking Dead comes back for the second half of the fourth season on August 12th. That was yesterday. So you can see that you should have that on your DVR if you're taping it. And The Walking Dead comes back October 7th for the return of its ninth season. So there's plenty of Walking Dead stuff for you to take in. No loss of Walking Dead for people. Okay, let's talk about comic book movies. Lock and Key. That comic book has gone through so much turmoil. I don't want to say turmoil. It's been picked up by I don't know how many people. At first it was going to be a series. It was going to be a movie. Then it was going to be on Hulu. It's just crazy how much stuff. Let's see what they say here. Dimension Films bought the rights in 2008. Then they were going to make a television series at Fox in 2010. It got a pilot, but nothing ever happened after that. They had a failed film adaptation in 2014 with Universal. And then the Hulu pilot also failed to bring it to life. Well, next person in line, step up, Netflix. They have confirmed they are going to make a 10-episode season of Lock and Key. Don't hold your breath. Something about this title, it just must be cursed. It's IDW Publishing produces this one. It's a great story. It's about three kids. Their dad gets murdered, so they decide to go back and live in their ancestral home in Massachusetts. They find out that the house has these different keys that give them different powers and abilities. Well, they're not the only ones to know about it. There is a demon that wants these keys for itself. And, well, it's a demon, so he's going to do whatever he can to get these keys. Really well-written comic. I think it would make a great series if it ever gets off the ground. So let's wait and see if Lock and Key is successful, even if it gets one season, I hope it gets a second. I hope it's very well received. Wolverine. That poor guy. First he was dead, and then they brought him back, and they've had no less than 6 or 7 different miniseries about the hunt for Wolverine. It's just crazy. I think there was too many. I think they might have overhyped it. Yeah, Wolverine's coming back. Everybody's excited. But man, stop dragging it out. This hunt for Wolverine, you shouldn't have had that many miniseries titles out of it. It's just too much. So we're going to get all those Hunt for Wolverine's miniseries. These are done. We're going to get The Return of Wolverine number 1 on September 19th. So I guess they've found him. He's back. We're going to find out. He has some new power where his claws heat up when he pops them. So we will see Wolverine back in September with The Return of Wolverine. Movies. Let's talk about movies again. The Meg. People laughed at it. They said it's just another shark movie. It's going to be silly. Well, they laughed their silly self all the way to the bank with $141 million at the global box office. That is crazy. They're not far behind Mission Impossible Fallout for total, and they came out after. So, yeah, this weekend, Meg came in at the top. 44.3 this weekend domestic with additional 97 globally, which puts it at the 141 million figure. Mission Impossible Fallout holding on to that second spot. They pulled in an additional 20 million, brings their domestic total up to 161 million and another 38 million overseas. So it's worldwide totals pretty respectable, 437 million. It's going to surpass all the other Mission Impossible movies easily. Christopher Robin came in third. It was second last week, but I believe it came in third this week. It is a total of 50 million US, 62 million worldwide. That's the one with Ewan McGregor about Winnie the Pooh. See, Slender Man came in at 11, just a little over 11 million for the weekend. Spike Lee's BlacKkKlansman, almost 11, just short of 11 million domestic. That is Spike Lee's third highest opening. So yeah, that's not too bad. It put him in fifth place. He makes his movies usually have a long tail. They do well long time. This BlacKkKlansman looks really good. I want to see it because it was the guy was based out of El Paso who infiltrated the KKK, and we don't live far from El Paso. So a little local interest on it. Hey, Harsh at Flip Page Comics. Yeah. Everybody knew Wolverine was coming back. Nobody stays dead in the comics except for Uncle Ben. Especially when you kill off a popular character like Wolverine. My only thought was, I hope they didn't keep him dead too long. They did that with Nightcrawler. Nightcrawler was on the top of his game back in the day. That dude was so freaking popular. They killed him off and they left him dead for a hell of a long time. When they brought him back, everybody's like, "Yeah, meh, don't care." With Wolverine, I hope that's not going to be the case. But the difference is, with Wolverine, they've been making movies in the meantime, so that interest in the character has still been there. I hope that he comes back and gains all his popularity back. Rest in peace, Uncle Ben. Yeah, I think they might have cloned him once, but he's never really come back from dead. But yeah, Uncle Ben, no reason to bring him back. Next on the list, we have The Spy Who Dumped Me. It looks silly. I like Mila Kunis. It brought in domestic total, 24 and a half million. It looks funny. It's one of those that I will probably use my movie pass to see so I don't spend my hard-earned money on it, or might wait for it to hit Redbox. which I'm sure that's going to be the one ones that hits Redbox quick after it leaves the theaters. Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again was after that. Globally, it has made $280 million. That's pretty respectable. It's like a modern age musical based on songs from ABBA. Who doesn't like ABBA? Okay, Equalizer 2. I've actually seen that one. I loved the first Equalizer. This one is almost as good, but not quite. The first Equalizer was amazing. This one is really good. It has a total of $101 million globally. Not bad. Not bad at all. Hotel Transylvania 3, Summer Vacation, dropped in 9th place. I think they probably should have ended the Hotel Transylvania series before this one. I watched this one and I was just kind of indifferent toward it. I don't believe it was as good as the others. It seems like now it was just felt like a money grab to me. I mean, it still made globally it made $378 million. That's not bad, but man, I don't want to see them taint the legacy for Hotel Transylvania. First one was amazing. Second one was pretty good. This number three, no. You should have stopped before three. Okay, The Innocents. Innocence on Netflix is going to be it's a British supernatural teen series based on this girl who finds out that she is a shapeshifter. I guess she got it from her mother. She has to decide whether she's going to explore this shape, you know, her mother's history about this shapeshifting and maybe learn more of how to control this power she has, or if she should just stay with her boyfriend. Like I said, it's a teen thing. Nobody in their right mind should worry about losing her boyfriend. You need to go find out about your powers. You need to learn how to control them. But like I said, they're teens. They don't make the best decisions. So keep that in mind when you watch this series. Comes out on Netflix August 24th. Snowpiercer. Eesh. Yeah, it was a graphic novel. And then they turned it into a movie back in 2013 with Chris Evans. That's the movie where you find out that Captain America eats babies. You have to watch Snowpiercer and get the inside joke on that one. But yeah, weird movie. The world has been turned into a winter wasteland. So they make this train that travels nonstop around the globe. And this train has everything it needs to sustain people. You know, they have cars where they grow vegetables. They have livestock cars. They have each car on this train has a specific purpose to keep these people alive. Well, the well-to-do people are up in the front in the luxury cars. You know, they get to go to their kids go to the school cars to learn. And then all the worker people are back in the unwashed masses cars where they're just packed in like sardines. It's a lot of violence and stuff back there, like I said, and they're hungry all the time. Spoiler, they do eat babies if they can catch them. It was a decent movie. I don't know why they're going to turn it into a series. It's TNT. I guess they're seeing everybody else doing all these cool shows. It's going to arrive sometime in 2019 or 2020. They're having issues doing reshoots. The director didn't want to come back due to artistic differences over what they were doing. This show, Snowpiercer, I'm probably not going to watch it. It sounded like a great concept. I watched the movie and it was just kind of meh. So we will get this in 2019 or 2020. I'm not holding my breath. Are you guys excited for it? I'm definitely not. Let's go to another cartoon has been turning into a live action show, Kim Possible. Kim Possible was on the top, that show was on top of its game. It was doing well. I think it always got great reviews. It even won two animated. It had two animated films. Had critical acclaim. Now they're making it live action. Yeah. I'm not sure what the fascination with is. I guess a couple of the live action adaptions did well, so everybody now wants to jump on the bandwagon and do their own live action from a cartoon or book. Or I shouldn't say book, comic book is what I meant. It's going to premiere on the Disney Channel sometime in 2019. I'm kind of over all the live action stuff. Okay, if you've been reading Thor over the past couple years, you've seen that he had something whispered in his ear by Nick Fury that caused him to believe he wasn't worthy anymore, so he was not able to wield Mjolnir. Mjolnir was sitting on the moon. Nobody can come and pick it up and claim it. Then some mysterious person came and picked it up. You find out that it was Jane Foster. She took on the role of Thor. Did a pretty good job. It was a really good run. And you had unworthy Thor who was trying to gain his worthiness back. He's running around trying to find a new hammer that he can wield. And he doesn't want to take somebody else's hammer, which is why I think they even offered him Stormbreaker at one point, Beta Ray Bill, and he kind of turned it down. He wants his own hammer. He kind of has that now. The dwarves at Nidavellir, the Ironforged people, the dwarves who make all the Asgardian weapons, he has picked this. It's a double-edged axe hammer type looking thing. It's a lot narrower than Mjolnir, but it looks pretty formidable. It didn't have a name for the longest time. In this most recent Thor, Loki actually gives it a name. He's trying to send it out. He flings it and sends it out to Thor, because Thor is trying to recruit the Valkyries to come and battle with him. This war they're having in Hell. So as Loki's throwing it, he calls it Hellbringer. So if you're looking for the name for Thor's new hammer, that's it. Hellbringer. That's not a bad name. I can get behind that. I kind of dig it. Let's just see if it gets as iconic as Mjolnir. Because, well, if you don't know, it's not really spoilers. It happened long, long ago. Like months. When Jane Foster gave up Mjolnir, it got thrown into the heart of the sun. And is no more. Or is it? Comics. Everything comes back. We might see Mjolnir back again. But last we knew, it got thrown into the heart of the sun. Netflix's Punisher series, they just finished filming. So now they're going to editing. The first season of Punisher, a little brutal. But that's Punisher. He's supposed to be brutal. So it was true to the character. Jon Bernthal is doing a killer job playing Punisher. I've got to say, he's probably, him and Tom Jane are right there neck and neck with my favorite Punishers. It's a great series for Netflix. We will see that in 2019. I can't wait. The first one, like I said, really good. We're getting to see him morph into the Punisher that we know from the comics. Okay, Iron Fist Season 2. We know it's coming out September 7th. What you probably don't know is they almost brought in Moon Knight on Iron Fist Season 2. Mark Spector, it's like Marvel's more crazy version of Batman. The dude has multiple personalities existing inside his head. He's supposedly a millionaire. One of his other identities is a cab driver, and the third I don't remember. Moon Knight has the power of, I think, the Egyptian god Khonshu. If I'm wrong, correct me, but I believe it was Khonshu. Dude is just, like I said, imagine Batman, and now imagine Batman crazier than he is now, psychotic. Moon Knight, really good character. I'm surprised they don't have a series for him yet. I wouldn't mind seeing him cross over in some of the future stuff in Netflix, maybe even in movies. Even just a mention of Mark Spector. Great character. Should have his own series. Don't know why he doesn't. Okay, let's stick with Marvel. Tony Stark He's back now, not in the coma and the iron lung. He's back. He has a new business, Stark Unlimited. Instead of making weapons, this one he's got a virtual reality deal. You get sent the Iron Man faceplate. You put it on and it's like a virtual reality piece that puts you into any Iron Man suit of armor virtually that you want, and you can do anything you want. So he, let's see where this goes. Why would they bring this up in the comics unless something, I'm having a feeling something's going to go wrong with the virtual reality. Something's going to go wrong with one of these masks. It's got to happen. Why would they even bring it in as a plot point? So we will see the virtual world of Escape or Escape with the Iron Man, or you can wear any Iron Man suit you want. And how long will it be before they bring this out as an actual real life video game? Don't know. I'd like to play as a virtual reality Iron Man. I'm not sure how that would work. You'd have to have the whole suit, like Ready Player One style. Anyway, look for this, and I believe it's Iron Man number 3. Let's see why they brought this out, why they even bothered mentioning this virtual reality thing. Maybe he's going to fight some virtual reality villain, or some villain's going to come through the virtual reality and make himself a nuisance to Tony Stark. Like I said, this was a slow news day. That is all I have for you guys this morning. That should be enough. Please subscribe to this YouTube channel, like the video, comment on the video. If you don't like video, hey, you can listen to us on podcast, talknerdypodcast.com. You can download directly. Or if you use any of the podcast apps that you use, you can find us on. If you don't find us, let us know so that I can make sure that we're listed there. The big one being iTunes. If you use iTunes, please subscribe to us on iTunes and leave us a good rating and review. Actually, you don't even have to use iTunes. You can still go and leave us a good rating and review. So that is all I have for you guys on this beautiful Monday. And as always, I will see you tomorrow. Later, nerds.